I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to the Talking Movies, Pictures, Movie Show. My name's Andy Price, and his name is Tim Goodings. Welcome. Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you going?
I was talking to the audience.
Oh, how is it? Oh, they're good.
Right, I don't think this high energy thing's working for us. Let's just go back to our everyday.
It's time for movies. Which ones? Kinky Boots.
Marvel News.
Oh, time for Marvel News.
Play the theme song.
No, I won't. All right, so this week...
Wait. Let's explain what the podcast is for new listeners.
Oh, new. Hey, guys.
Because new listeners, that's part of news.
Yes, so podcast news. If you're a podcast news, then you don't know what this is. And what is it?
It's a podcast.
And what do?
We talk about movies.
And we get guests on, talk about movies that they did. But before that,
Marvel news. Everyone loves a bit of Marvel news. There's always so much going on.
Especially we do good publicity for them because a lot of people go, who's that? And then they listen to the podcast and then...
A lot of people say, are you guys sponsored by Marvel News because they need a bit of help getting their movies out there?
There's just a
lot of news out there. So we just... I don't want it to define
the podcast.
Just release
the valve every couple of weeks so it doesn't just build up with Marvels.
And exploding up.
That's the news. So this time, it is Marvel News, and I'm going to say it because this episode has come out on the 8th of June, and some people will know or not that that is when we elect a new leader. So this Marvel News, you can choose from two pieces of Marvel News, which bit you want me to do. So I'll describe the bits of news, and then listeners can get on our website, which is...
www.nameofthepodcast.com/address
And then you click on your favourite bit of news, and then next time I'll do all of it in its entirety, and you go, ah, that was Marvel News. But this time I'll say a bit of it. So do you want to vote for, there's only two options, A, that Marvel have decided to make all of their movies free from
Shut
now
up.
On. I won't. And they're going to be trialling a new service for free movies.
Shut up.
Called the MHS. So the they're keeping the MHS going. They want to keep it alive.
What does that stand for?
The Marvel Help Service. And they help people to watch movies for free if they even can't afford it.
But
right?
Surely I have to pay some kind of, at some point, along the line.
Not at all.
Completely
not at
free.
All. Free Marvel. Option B, Marvel are going to make, if you ever read a comic... At the beginning, it will say... No, you won't. But if you did, if the listener did, on the first page, it will say...
They won't. I won't let them.
Okay. But imagine that they could. It will say, this is what happened last time in the comic, on the last issue. Or even they might talk about it in the movie, what happened in the last movie, right? But now they're going to say, you can't do that anymore. So if you are forgetful, maybe through like dementia or whatever... You are going to have to pay to be reminded of what has happened. So if you have memory problems, you're going to have to pay money, basically, so that you can sort of understand everything that's going on. A sort of tax on memory issues. It's a policy, and what can you do? But that's just the Marvel news that's happening. I'm not going to say which is your favourite. You just got to say which one you want me to tell you more about, because I can't influence things like this. This is just a podcast. So go on the website, vote for A or B. A is MHS, and B is dementia tax. And then we'll do all of it in 2 weeks, unless there's different Marvel news by then, because it might have gone.
I mean, there's bound to be many bits of Marvel news by then.
Yeah, lots. Movie news.
Yes. So on Cinema Blend this week, we have learnt what the title... So this is great, because they went straight to the source. They went to Tom Cruise and they asked him, they're like, Top Gun 2, is it happening? Top Gun 2, what's it called? And he told them.
He just told them
because they are so reputable. They're reputable as a source of movie news.
So what is
it? Top Gun, colon.
Oh, that's a shit title.
Hang on.
Oh.
I haven't finished. It's going to be called Top Gun.
Top Gun, colon.
Hang on.
Top Gun, colon.
I haven't finished. So do you want me to do it? Do you want me to read it out with a silent colon?
Silent colon, please.
Okay, right. Top Gun, Maverick. So... what we need to do, this is why people are listening to this podcast,
still the title.
Because they want to, they
this is a long title.
They've been on, no, this is, it's just Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, sorry, okay.
But so the people that are listening to this podcast and come here to try and extract a bit more information, because they've been on Cinema Blend, it's online, people have seen all this, isn't new, this
very
isn't fresh.
Basic.
What we're here to do is to analyze that
analyze, criticize, extrapolate, and find out
what might happen in a Top Gun 2
movies.
By that title. So what have we learned? Top Gun Maverick.
Colon. And so we know that Maverick was...
That was Tom Cruise's character.
That was Tom Cruise's character from...
Top Gun 1.
Top Gun 1.
Maverick is in the title. So that would indicate that Maverick has something to do with the sequel. What do you think that might be? I mean, at this point, we don't even know if he's in it.
Oh, he told us what it was called.
Yeah.
That's what he's got to do with that. Because that's Tom Cruise.
Okay, so we know that Tom Cruise knows
title.
That it's called the title. But do you reckon that means he's in it? Because I don't know.
Well, how would he know otherwise?
Well, maybe
he's producing it, maybe.
I mean, he might be producing it. How do we know that he's in it? Maybe it's someone else that's come along and is just literally a maverick.
So not even his name. He is just a maverick.
Exactly.
He's just like a loose cannon, crazy guy.
Yeah, like
flying
just
a plane.
Like Maverick Jones over here.
Yeah, that is where you want a maverick though, in an aeroplane, which is like a very delicate instrument of death.
Mm-hmm.
You want someone who sort of doesn't really play by the rules.
Yeah.
Literally pushing the envelope. That is where that phrase comes from.
Well, it's like the first strike.
Hmm?
It's like the first strike thing.
The first
like,
Reich.
You don't want some guy who's going to think about
before the
it.
Third Reich.
No, the first strike, like we're with nuclear bombs and stuff like that.
Oh.
Like you don't want just someone who's just going to, you know, like, go, oh, I don't know. Maybe we
not
should
sure.
think about
oh,
it. Maybe we should
know.
Assess
Oh, I don't
want to
be a nuclear bomb. I don't want to kill people. Boo, boo, boo.
What a prick.
Bomb them. Get in there. Get stuck
exactly.
in.
And for that, you need
Fire
a
maverick.
Maverick
at them in a plane.
Exactly. Just throw a maverick at them. Drop a bomb.
The noise.
Ask questions later.
Like,
when everyone's dead.
Like,
well, it doesn't
what
matter,
happened to Maverick?
He's dead. So Top Gun 2, I guess, is about nuclear war.
Yeah. And he's and Tom Cruise is playing the bomb.
We've extrapolated. Well, he's either playing Maverick or
Cruise
the bomb.
Missile.
Cruise bomb. Sea bomb.
Ah.
Yeah. Cunt bomb.
Oh, sea bomb. That's good.
Yeah,
Good.
Is he flying
a cruise ship?
Top Gun 2.
Yep.
He I'll flies a plane off of a cruise ship, fires a
cruise missile,
which causes a massive...
At cruising speed.
Yep. And the media refers to it as a cruise bomb or a sea bomb.
Yeah.
And on the front of the Guardian, it just says the headline...
Cruise.
Cunt.
It's a... Crew's under threat from cruise missile because he fires it at the crew of another ship. So the crew's under threat.
Yeah. And we'll see if that comes true. Any other movie news?
More cruise news.
Oh, go on.
It's Tom for cruise news.
Oh. It's cruise for Tom news.
Oh, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work as well at all.
It's Maverick for Top Gun. No, it doesn't make any sense. He is also in
it's Tim for Tom Gun.
A film that he is definitely in is The Mummy.
Oh, go on. That's Brendan Fraser, isn't it?
No, different one now. Reboot. I know. Again, as we've spoken about, this is not something that Hollywood is very into, but this is maybe the first one we've heard of is they've actually decided to start.
Why would you not have Brendan Fraser in the reboot? Why would you not have it exactly the same? Seems like they missed a trick there.
You got me there,
if
mate.
If you're going to reboot The Mummy, what do you say? What do you think when someone says, oh, do you remember The Mummy? You go, oh, yeah, Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser.
So if you're doing a reboot,
Rachel Weisz.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
Rachel Weisz. Rachel Weisz.
Oh, dear, he's stuck in a loop. Is she in it?
No, I don't think she is.
Well, missing, that's two tricks they missed.
They've got Tom Cruise and Jake Johnson and a woman. Great. I don't know who she is. It was some sort of woman. What they said is his character is called something like Nick Everyman or something boring. And people think maybe that is just a cover-up name, that actually he's playing a more instrumental character in the Universal Monsters mythos.
Shut up.
I can't. I have to keep talking. So, they're speculating that it might be Van Helsing.
No.
Yeah. Or it might be Alan Quatermain.
Shut your face.
Or maybe even another one.
Oh, fuck off.
Who do you think it is?
I think it's probably Maverick from Top Gun. And that's why he's not going to be in Top Gun 2.
Because he's busy. Yeah, he's quite the maverick because he's fighting something that doesn't even exist. At least in Top Gun, his planes that are real.
Well, I wouldn't do. I wouldn't fight a mummy because I'm not a maverick.
It takes a maverick.
Yeah,
that's what we've learned.
It takes a big maverick and a little
Cruise.
Mummy.
Oh,
to
a little Tom Cruise.
Top Gun
to top the gun.
Yeah,
you need a Top Gun
and a little
maverick.
Cruise.
Oh.
You need a Top Gun.
Go on. Any other ideas of who he could be playing?
I think he might be playing the Tooth Fairy.
Tooth Fairy is Dwayne Apostrophe, the Rock Apostrophe Johnson.
Oh, I thought it was Vin Diesel.
Yeah, that's the pacifier.
I made that mistake every time.
I know. I think it could be...
Vin Diesel was the one in Fast and Furious.
No, that's Paul Walker.
I make that mistake every time.
Vin Diesel is the one in the pacifier. If you remember
that's
that,
Paul
if you remember that from, you're right. Sorry, Vin Diesel is the one who is in
Baywatch.
That's The Rock. That's Dwayne Johnson.
And Paul Walker's his sidekick. No, that's Kevin Hart.
No, Kevin Hart is the one who's in Jumanji.
Yeah.
No, that's
The
Rock.
So which one's Paul Walker in?
Paul Walker is in Fast and Furious.
No, he's in Buried.
No, that's Ryan Reynolds. He is Buried.
I make that mistake every time.
No, that's Tom Cruise.
That makes
the mistake every time.
Okay, that's fair.
He's a maverick.
Well, in many ways, he probably doesn't realise he makes mistakes. And that's what Top Gun 2 is about. Yep, so we got Sarah Keyworth up on the podcast today to talk about her big old movie. But stick around after the interview for our listener questions for this week. We've pushed them onto the back end.
Stick around. Thanks. Was there anything?
You.
Thanks, you.
Thanks, you. Thanks, you.
Don't touch the dial. Oh, well, welcome to the Talking Movies, Pictures, Movies show. Yeah, and here we are with Sarah Keyworth.
Hi, hello. Sarah Keyworth.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, good. Great. Thank you for asking.
Good, so I'm glad.
Considerate. Now you're here to promote a new movie, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Excellent. Obviously, me and Andy have seen the movie. What was your first impressions of it, Andy? We watched it together. It was quite enjoyable.
My favourite scene was the one where Tim broke down and placed his hand upon mine.
Your hand was on your knee, so yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget?
Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And said, "Did you feel that?
Mm.
That was love.
Great.
Yeah, it was a beautiful scene.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, given that I wasn't at the cinema with you, which scene was that?
Oh goodness, I don't want to start welling up when I'm recounting.
That's
it.
Fair enough. Actually,
it was the scene with the horsehair wig.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Was it real horsehair?
Yeah, it was horsehair. Okay, yeah, that's of course beautiful. It was. Yeah. I mean, you can tell that in
the. Well, that's what I thought. In the recording. Make assumptions. Mm. And you obviously approach the other lead character, and you kind of say, "Now is the time to die," and it's that scene where you kind of made that decision, and it's all come to a head, and we're like, "It's happening!" Yeah. And I was just so fraught with emotion that I put my hand onto what I thought would be your knee, Andy, but then your hand was there. I put my hand on your hand. It got a bit awkward. Made eye contact. But we've got over that now, haven't we?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know what the scene was up until now. I was asleep, for which I apologise. Well, to both of you, really.
Throughout the film?
No, I fell asleep before the film started. So it wasn't because the film was boring. It was just because I was really tired when I sat down. And then by the time it started...
He was already asleep.
I was already asleep.
You were asleep.
Yeah,
it's like being on a... I was shaking the popcorn really loud next to his head and like hitting it against his head.
Yeah,
and
that was after I woke up.
And the other critics...
So you saw the scene, though, right?
I woke up after the scene. So I've seen the second half of the movie. Okay. And Tim's seen the first.
Well, it's the better half, well, I'd say.
Yeah, because I left after the first half. Because I thought, this is bullshit. If I've only seen the first half and Andy's not, then I'm not going to stay here for the second half.
It's a movie of two halves as well, I'd say.
Well, we've certainly seen it in that sense.
Yeah, and that's lucky in that regard.
Okay, that's
which
great.
Was your favourite half?
I enjoyed the middle section. Were you there for the middle section?
Well, partly. I How was long there for the start it? Of the middle section. I was there, for, was the there for the end of the middle section.
Oh, wow. So there could have been a little bit of time where you miss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because that was my favourite bit in the middle. Just.
Yeah, can you describe the scene for
us? There's an incredible scene where I'm wearing the horsehair
the wig.
Yeah. And it catches a light.
No.
Oh. Yeah, honestly. And we got through so many wigs during rehearsals and through the filming process. Very difficult scene.
That's,
to film
that's
with
the
horsehair wig.
Yeah,
no
scalp.
Horses were harmed in the making of the film.
But just yourself.
But the hairs. Oh, yeah. And the smell. Yeah. Mm. So in some ways, I'm glad that you missed that scene.
Well, I think I saw the beginning. Yeah. I saw the flame approaching the hair.
Mm.
And then Andy woke up.
And saw the bald horse.
Yeah. We've had a lot of complaints about that as well. A lot of people saying it's not actually relevant to the rest, to the first half or the second half of the film. People saying, why are you just randomly burning the horses?
Yeah, and I don't know if it was relevant because I didn't know if it was too up until then.
Well, you just woke up and you're like, oh, this is relevant to the first half.
It must be.
But you don't know.
No.
This is fascinating, actually. I might suggest to them that they insist that people leave halfway through the film. And
like
they
Kill
bring
Bill,
in,
split it into two parts.
Mm. Yeah. But
Or you're saying choose one half and never see the other half.
Never.
That's good.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
And what do you think the people that watch the first half would take away from it and people that watch the second half take away from it? That's a good point. You tell me what
you
took away from
the
first half.
The first half of the film? For me, I've seen the whole film because I went to the premiere. It'd be weird if I walked out.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't you practice...
To see the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know, because I read the script and everything, so I knew.
Oh,
that,
I spoiled it for you.
I knew exactly what was going to happen,
Do you wish you hadn't read the script in advance?
In some ways
so
I had, I regret
fresh.
That a lot. Mm. Yeah, I don't even think it helped with my process during the production.
Describe your process.
My process in getting into character. Mm. It's a lot of physicality, a lot of movement work, a lot of workshops, and I worked with the original Gollum. Mm. During the process, just to get the physicality.
Andy Serkis, right. Okay. So was that motion capture then?
Oh, yeah, parts of it.
Ah, good. I mean, the CGI is very convincing.
Thank you.
So
yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was practical. So at some points it was a real horsehair wig and sometimes it was CGI.
Oh, yeah, there were elements where, I mean, it was just completely unrealistic to film those scenes.
That's fair.
Hang on. Gollum was in the first half of the film, is that...
No, Gollum himself is not in the film.
Oh.
No, I think it was in Andy Serkis, who played Gollum.
He was in the second half and I missed him. No.
He's not in it at all.
He was the movement coach, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's working a lot, but trying to capture the essence of Gollum himself.
That's fine. Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
And did you give your... I don't know if this was in the second half. Give your character a name based on a sound that they made, like Gollum.
I don't know.
Because the name of the character wasn't said in the first half.
Not at all. No, yeah, it's just Wife of Gollum, isn't it? So that's all you get. But for the film Wife of Gollum, it's tricky to... I don't even know if she had a name. And I think that's an interesting part of the film, is that she's nameless and she's searching for her...
name.
Yeah.
Did she find her name? Well, I should know. I watched the second half.
You should know.
Yeah.
But so she's playing devil's advocate, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So if you...
intimacy with Andy Serkis in terms of... Because he, of course, was Gollum and you had to play Wife of Gollum.
We had a connection.
How close did you... You did have a connection.
Yeah, and we had to do... We did a lot of scenes in rehearsal where he and I... You know, scenes that weren't in the film, but just to get a feel for the fact that there was a relationship between these two characters.
It showed in the first half, at least. I mean, it could be. Thoughts on the
second half? It was, you know, it was. I sensed there was a previous connection, but I felt that it had withered somewhat. But I felt that that was very important for her journey as a character to find her own name and let Gollum go.
Oh, yeah, and I was really appreciative of the fact that he wasn't in it, because it's so... I'm so pleased that there is a strong female role in Hollywood now as Wife of Gollum. Because there's nothing like that before, really.
No.
And she's so... You know, I think she speaks to generations of women.
How many generations?
At least three.
That's a lot.
Generations. Wow.
Which
of
ones?
Women. The women born in the 1950s.
Yeah.
The women born in the 1800s and my generation, I'd say.
As well. But it skips some generations.
Yeah, they wouldn't get it at all. They wouldn't understand. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
I mean, I guess some of them would be just terrified that there's a screen with moving people on
some of them, certainly. Yeah.
Whereas if you showed it to them in 3D, they'd be fine.
Yeah, but
some of them wouldn't even know who Gollum is, let alone...
I think they'd know who Gollum was. Those books were pretty big.
But what about if it was before they were written?
I don't think that... No, I think that would be far-fetched.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they've been around for so long. I mean, I can't remember a time when they didn't exist.
I don't want to refute you.
Yeah.
But there was certainly a time when I hadn't heard of them.
But fortunately for us, the target audience that the movie has been made for will never see the film.
Yeah.
Because they're all dead.
Dead.
Mm.
That
so was there challenges in getting funding for a film where the primary audiences are dead?
We had to do a lot of crowdfunding online, which was tricky. Because
very modern.
Targeting a lot of dead people is
who
a challenge.
Don't know how to use the internet.
But there's a lot of money in dead people.
Inheritance tax.
Graves.
Mm-hmm. Selling bodies to medical science.
Do a lot of digging.
Mm-hmm.
But... We managed it. It wasn't easy, but I think it's been worthwhile.
I think I would have one criticism, and again, Annie, you can tell me if this is something that did come up in the second half of the movie, but one of the main things that Gollum is famous for as a character is his love of a ring, which, of course, is traditionally a symbol of marriage.
Yeah.
And I felt you missed a trick in not referencing that in some way, because you wore a ring throughout the film as the wife of Gollum to show, yes, she is wed. But you were visible throughout the whole film. So was that the one ring, or was it just a ring?
Oh, that was just a ring.
Just a ring.
Yeah, because we hadn't actually seen or read any of the is it the Gollum books?
Gollum's
Tale. Yeah, we hadn't read any of them. So we didn't know. We thought, oh, he apparently likes a ring. So we thought, oh, put a ring on it.
So you hadn't read the books?
No.
Well, that's okay. Well, that's amazing because you won't know this because you didn't watch the second half. No, right, but in the second half, when your character does take the ring off, she does disappear and is invisible for the remainder of the film.
Yeah,
the second
I just
half.
Thought that would be interesting.
Sort of okay, yeah. It's not plagiarism if you don't know.
Mm. And if it's literally the opposite of what happens.
Exactly, there you go.
And that was supposed to symbolise, you know, of the time, women of the time being unmarried. Are they? Does that mean they're...
Who are
anything,
they? Without,
you know,
without
they're nothing husband. Without their...
Totally.
Their,
I agree with that. Yeah.
Their man.
Yeah.
But it's really astute of you to notice that.
Well, I mean, I didn't because it didn't happen in the first time.
Exactly,
so
but I was able to.
You can compliment Andy all you like on something that he's seen and worked out from that, but if I haven't got a chance to see it, then...
All right, Tim, tell us what you noted in the first
I'm
half.
I'm more than willing
was...
to listen to your thoughts on the first half.
Critical appraisal.
Yes, please.
What am I, a critic? Yes. The critical appraisal. Oh, I thought the inciting incident.
Well, how about you give us a rundown of the plot in the first half for the listeners that are intrigued by?
Oh, sure. Well, of course, the opening scene is kind of. I mean, as you say, you don't see Gollum full on in person, but his presence is felt very heavily in the scene.
Yeah, mm. And 5D.
You have the honeymoon scene. You hear the sounds.
Mm. You got the wind blowing the back of your legs.
Yeah. You hear the sounds of the
conjugation. The horse hair wig is flying everywhere.
Yes, and that's and as yeah again 5D. You just sort of someone comes along with some horse hair wigs.
Yeah,
and just
sets
it
fire
face.
To it, and you can smell it.
That was my idea.
That was good. Great. It was really good. So you hear the disgusting sounds from the honeymoon, the wedding night rather. Mm. That was great.
There's a lot of voice work there.
Yeah. Well, did obviously. Serkis himself is not in the film. Did he provide voice work?
He did, yeah. There was a bit of voice work, and he worked with me on my tone as well.
Mm. To get that right, okay.
He really did, yeah.
Because it sounded like you were kind of gagging. Yeah. And I wonder if that was meant to be a sexual thing, or because just the character just does that.
Oh, I think that is actually just the noise that they make in general, yeah. I'm not sure if anything was actually happening orally.
Then I really shouldn't have been as aroused as I was.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that the opening scene had that much of an effect on you.
I mean, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
But I do feel it was unnecessary.
I mean, it does add a certain darkness to the memory of the point where he placed his hand on my hand.
That was a long time after, bear in mind. I'm talking about the beginning of the
film. Okay, so you've calmed down by
then. When I did that to you was at the halfway point when I was about to leave, so I'd fully finish and clean myself up by then.
Oh, good.
Although
I did give you the
popcorn, didn't I? So that wasn't...
That's not ideal.
That's a kind of legacy of what happened.
Oh, salty. I like my popcorn sweet.
So, anyway, honeymoon. We're in the honeymoon suite. You hear the lovely noises. Mm. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Oh, that's good, actually. That was really good.
Yeah. No, thanks. Mm. I'm quite the mimic.
Tim is a borderline professional mimic.
The border is that I haven't been paid for.
Give him any name and he'll do it.
That's where the border is. Give me any name and
Any name at all.
And I'll just say it.
You'll just do it. Okay.
Well, I'll say it.
You'll say it. Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash.
That's spot on.
That's really good.
That's spot on.
That's very impressive.
Wow. Yeah, I walk the line of being professional and not professional.
That was uncanny.
So how did you manage to get Johnny Cash to agree to do the soundtrack considering he's dead?
Oh, well, it was a lot of work, but you know, there's a lot. Yeah, there's been.
Well, part of your target audience is dead. That's not going to stop you. You know,
exactly. Hiring. Yeah. So we went straight to Johnny Cash.
Mm.
Through mediums, I'd say. I think that was probably what they did. I mean, I wasn't directly involved in the soundtrack process.
And again, I do want to point out that you missed a trick in not using the song "Ring of Fire" because rings are such an important part
of
the Gollum.
Yeah.
Mythos.
Yeah, but again, we hadn't seen it.
You
hadn't
seen it, so
we didn't
know. And you
hadn't
listened to all of Johnny Cash's songs, apparently, even his most famous one.
No, we didn't know. And we just, Johnny Cash was just...
He didn't tell you.
He popped up on a Spotify playlist and somebody said, oh, this sounds all
Who's
right.
Who's that?
Yeah. Who's
Johnny
this guy?
Who?
Is this new kid?
Yeah.
And
Johnny Dollar.
Yeah. And we thought we'd probably get him in for an interview.
Oh, sad news, guys.
Yeah, little did we know.
Did you find out before or just when he didn't turn up?
Just honestly, when he didn't turn up. I hear.
Well, the pastries laid out.
Tell me about it. Yeah, the late Johnny Cash.
Got a text just saying Johnny Cash hasn't turned up. And I was like, these arrogant young musicians.
Oh, that's a shame. That is a shame. Yeah. So... obviously the majority of the people that worked on this film were dead to match the audience who were dead.
Mm.
Did you feel like you were discriminated against in the filming process as being one of the few people that was living?
I think a lot of people would assume that in the sense that they were providing me with food and water. I don't know if you know this, guys, but I need that.
Whereas the dead people
that's didn't need that. So, like, there was a lot of, like, whisperings amongst the dead saying, oh, she'd be favoritism, you know. She's there trying to push for her to get an Oscar. I'm like, well, it would be weird if you were at the Oscars. Do you know what I mean? Like, it'd be unpleasant for everyone. I shouldn't have said that. So no, I shouldn't have said that on here. Yeah.
Well, we do like our exclusives, but yeah. If you're not happy with that.
It's fine. Yeah,
I don't want to trash anyone.
Sure. Like, unlike your audience, our audience is all living, so I think it'll be fine.
At the moment, they are.
Well.
What was your favourite bit of the second half of the movie, Andy?
Okay, my favourite bit of the second half.
What was the most memorable?
Largely the same. Oh, no, actually, I think they're probably... That's not... the case. My favourite moment was when you
it's such a shame you missed that honeymoon scene, honestly.
I'm just trying to work out how that tracked to what I saw.
Iconic opening scene of a film this decade.
Do you want to act it out for me?
Well, give it time. We'll save it for later.
I was just trying to work out how the first half, what you've explained the first half, could possibly track to the second half, because there's a lot of things that don't make sense, because you mentioned that there was like a marriage in the first half, but in the second half there's a divorce, which is the opposite of marriage. So I don't really understand how those two things really track.
Explain that. Could you shed some light on that, Sarah? That is,
well, I think the film
that's literally the opposite.
The film, apparently, the earlier stories, the Gollum tales, they track like a journey, and we wanted to have a journey in itself, but a more sort of spiritual journey, seeing the marriage in
that's why there's so many dead people.
In its kind of in its glory days, and then when the marriage breaks down at the end of the film, which
but
is probably
again, that is the opposite of of marriage, is it not being married?
Yeah, definitely. Which is nobody's actually put it like that before, but I find that really interesting. Yeah.
Well done, Andy. You're really quite the critic.
It's quite profound.
I'm insightful. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Well, you got a question to ask, Andy.
I was just mirroring you.
Oh, well, I haven't, so that can't be right.
Well, then I guess I don't either.
Great. Now, we haven't discussed the director at all. Was it someone that you'd worked with previously?
No, I'd never worked with him before.
Oh, so brand new. And how was the relationship working out?
It was good. I mean, at times he was quite strict and quite tough with me and things like that. And he was saying, you know, have you never ever seen Gollum before? And I was saying, no.
Oh, God.
But it worked for you.
I mean, really brought something fresh to the table, I think.
And I think the thing about the role of Gollum and Gollum's wife is that, like, anyone can bring their own, you know, their own story to it. And Gollum is, as far as I know, a man of the people. Mm. He speaks to everyone.
He's an everyman.
I see Gollum. I see Gollum in you. I see Gollum in Andy. Like,
I've got that before, thank you.
Gollum is truth.
Gollum is all.
Mm.
Gollum is life. I felt left out.
Yeah, no, it's good that you felt the need to.
Now... Andy did mention an interesting scene to me at a point after the screening, which is something that obviously I didn't see. It's in the second half, from what I understand. After the divorce, wife O'Gollum starts to try and make it on her own in New York City by starting up her own handbag company.
Yeah.
And that, I thought, was very interesting to see that kind of transition from dependent on a man kind of thing. Yeah. Of like, even the name of the man is in the title.
Living in the...
Helm's
Deep and Mordor and... Yeah,
yeah, but then...
Eating
really
raw fish,
going forward to modern day New York. With no real explanation of the time jump from what
or
Andy says.
How she got the money.
How she got the money to start the handbag company. How she understands modern day economics.
Yeah.
I presumed lottery.
So what
gave you that impression?
Explain then.
It was the scene when she went into she went into the convenience store and she was like, "Can I have two packs of fags?" And I was like,
a shame,
and then it cut.
In New York, and they use that word differently in New York, so that was a difficult scene.
It was an
awkward
scene, yeah. But that was just very like, we wanted that to be a commentary on, you know, the current use of language
and
the fact that she came in and she was like, "I just want some fags," as in cigarettes.
Yeah.
And this guy tried to sell her these two gay men, and she was saying, I don't want these.
I mean, I fell about when Andy told me about that. It just sounded like really good.
It was a fun scene to do.
And then it cut really quickly. And on one side of things, that was funny. Editing for comedic value, but on the other hand, it cut about halfway through the sentence as she said, "Also, and can I get a lot?" And I extrapolated from that that she was about to say lottery ticket.
Oh, I see. I mean, well, I've been specifically told I can't comment on that particular.
So it might have been in the script. Yeah, it's just cut.
Christopher Nolan with his, you know, not saying the ending of Inception. Does it top or we don't know?
But there's there's something. Something in that.
And is it the word lottery ticket? Is that what's in that? But you can't say.
Can't say.
It's a shame. Because that...
Is that going to be on the DVD?
I don't know.
One of the bonus features? Yeah. Just the end of that sentence?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that could go.
God. And there's that comedy chops just coming through again.
Thank you.
I mean, like for me...
Really funny movie.
It's confusing because the second half of the movie was very funny. But when I spoke to Tim afterwards, he was like, oh, wasn't it so sad? Yeah, wasn't it maudlin? Wasn't it, you know, very dark and dingy? And I was like, what are you talking about? The colour scheme was mostly pinks, mostly yellows. There's a luminous green at one point that I saw. But Tim was just like, oh, it's so grey when they were just trudging through.
The Technicolor does start to come in towards the second half.
Yeah, it's sort of Wizard of Oz thing of like, gets to New York and that's like the land of Oz. Suddenly colour comes in.
I think it was mainly, it was budget. And we prioritised the second half in colour just because we thought people will only remember the end, really. I mean, not in your case because you've only seen...
I thought ran out of black and white halfway through and had to just revert to colour.
Oh, no. It was the other way around.
Interesting. Interesting.
But
so
I think it's...
budget for colour, right?
Yeah.
I suppose that makes sense.
Had to put
sense.
In a film with an old camera... Which
I assume that's what happened. I don't really know the ins and outs.
But
in the end, it worked quite well because you obviously have the two worlds, like where she's she's living with Gollum and she's having this awful marriage and this relationship and the children as well. And then she moves to New York.
I didn't see the children.
They were adorable.
Apart from that weird funeral later on with those three caskets that was small.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yes. And it's weird that happened during the half of the film that was supposed to be comedic.
Yeah.
I'm glad that there was a funeral because I saw them die and I thought, will they be commemorated? Mm. But luckily, as you said...
But the moment that the wife of Gollum accidentally falls in the grave... It's funny.
That was hilarious. Yeah, I almost shit myself when I saw that happening.
Grave's too small for her and yeah.
Oh, of course, because she's an adult.
So she's just got one leg
and
in
when,
it.
And when the casket's just splintered and the body's just like kind of rolled out.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of comedic sound effects for that scene?
It's like silent movie kind of thing.
There's piano and then like on the screen some text going,
suck it, blah!
French for that scene.
Exactly.
You remember it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Those are obviously French brands, and then you just get in really involved.
And people thought that, like, I guess the punchline of that joke was when she fell out and the bodies rolled out. But what I thought was, what I really enjoyed was that you took the joke further when you just went, "These aren't my children."
Yeah,
and they got the wrong bodies.
They
weren't. Yeah, they weren't. They were.
Oh, what a twist!
Yeah, they were human children. Yeah, they were human children.
They looked human, and I just wondered if the golemness had cancelled out, you know.
Two golems make a human. I don't know. I don't know the science of golem breeding, but I'd have to read up on that.
I just want enough time in the film to explore that.
No,
maybe that's in the original books. You know, maybe that's in there, and we just don't know.
There are hints at a sequel, though.
Oh, can I guess? Because again, I didn't see it, but you can corroborate. Does one of the little baby golems? Their hand come out of the grave towards the end. Is that what you're talking about? Something like that? Or
the final scene. Yeah, with the hand.
Yeah, so does it's it? Like, and then a dead cut at the end. You're just like, oh.
Yeah.
But we love a sequel here because the thing about Hollywood is that they hate sequels, they hate franchises, and we're so bored of original
sequels
material.
Anymore. I know why it's just not happening.
There are so many brilliant ideas that aren't being taken to their full extent and really, like, you know, rinsed for all their worth, which is a shame.
It's just like, new original idea, new IP. Yeah.
I mean, the last franchise I've
seen
saw
this before,
was probably Look Who's Talking. that series. I mean, and they were great.
Was it, or?
And they just stopped. Yeah, and Lucky's talking again.
Again, yeah.
And then they just stopped, and you're just like, well, great. Now what am I supposed to do?
And you can see how, you know, even then they were so not used to using sequels, so they didn't even use numbers in the titles for the successive films. Yeah. Just more words.
It would be nice to see more numbers in titles. More
numbers in titles. Especially... be nice to see another Gollum film again as well, because I just really don't feel like we've seen enough of that iconic character.
What's the word on that, Sarah?
There have been whisperings. I can't confirm anything, but there is
some BO reports.
Yeah, offer. I think so. Yeah, but it seems pretty positive at the moment. The reception of Wife of Gollum has been.
I imagine the director will obviously have quite a lot of clout behind getting the sequel made. We didn't say who it was. Who was the director on this piece?
Sorry. The director of Wife of Gollum was Sandy Toksvig. Directed Wife of Gollum. They wanted a female director to do it, to get into the
sick of QI already.
Yeah, she was fed up, so she thought, you know what, sack this off.
Yeah.
And she was great, really good. Yeah, really good. And she just knows, you know, she
just had like an instinctive thing for directing actors. Like, what kind of advice did she give you?
Oh, she lived out in the mountains for 6 years.
Which mountains?
Living as Gollum. Moria. Sorry?
Moria. I didn't know.
She lived like Gollum for 6 years.
Research.
Yeah.
Or was that just coincidence?
Oh, do you know what? I've never asked.
So was her work on QI, was that CGI or...
Yeah, like yeah, no, double? She did a lot of that filming before she went.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so really she did all the tapes. Yeah. And she had to guess the current events that were going to happen.
That's impressive.
Yeah, but they had to cover every possible scenario in every way. So they've got like a backlog of QI tapes where like Morgan Freeman is the UK Prime Minister, which is a really funny one. If they ever leak that,
I love that when that happened. It was only for a couple of weeks before people realised their mistake, but
The people that watched QI for their news obviously were a little bit confused. Yeah, they were like, hold on, is this? And then they were like, oh no, we aired the wrong one. And
Tim does a good Morgan Freeman impression.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Morgan Freeman.
That's so good. That's good. Yeah, that's really nice.
That's his name.
Yeah.
Do you do Sandy Toksvig?
I don't do women.
No, you don't.
I think it's insensitive to impersonate women because they've got it hard enough anyway.
Yeah, and the accent as well.
Yeah, the accent.
And you're probably... that's offensive. It's hard to pronounce Toksvig as well, so...
Yeah, I've never done it. I wouldn't dare try.
It's not. It's bold. Yeah.
I wouldn't say Toksvig. So we're... now, obviously, there's... you've got the little baby Gollum hand coming out of the end. Was there, I mean, either of you can answer this, was there a post-credits sting or any kind of little...
Well, the thing is, I don't want to give too many spoilers away, Tim, kind of, because we've already, you know, given away quite a lot. But it's the post-credits sting that everyone goes to watch the movies for, because that's obviously what sets up the next one. Mm-hmm. And so we don't really want to spoil it, but the hand coming out of the ground did turn out to be Baby Groot. Yeah,
and actually during the Baby Groot, was it?
Well, that's what I took away from
What's Baby Groot?
From Guardians of the Galaxy. I assumed they were saying the sequel was going to be a crossover.
Oh, is that what that is? I wonder where that
came
from.
It was either that or it was just a tree growing out of the ground. I suppose that would also make sense.
Well, he's a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Groot or tree?
We don't preempt my game.
Let's play it now. Groot or tree?
Okay.
Tree. All right.
Tell us
how
to play.
Thanks for setting me up, Andy. So this is one of our games, which listeners will know. I think we played it last time. And it's called Groot or Tree. So I'm going to say a scene from a movie.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me if that scene starred Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Or Tree.
Yep, okay.
Come on, lay it on me. Tree. All right.
Okay, so round one. I'll describe a scene from a movie. Mm-hmm. And do you want to compete against Andy, Sarah, or do you want to just do this?
Yeah, I'd love to, actually.
Okay,
yeah,
so how are we going to do this? Fastest finger first, fastest vocals first?
Yeah.
What, to shout out the answer?
Shout out the correct answer.
Are we buzzing?
Do you have a buzzer?
No.
Well, then no.
Okay. I can get us some buzzers.
Yeah?
Yep, hang on 1 second.
Lovely. That's amazing.
Oh, he's got some...
Very impressive.
Oh, that's lovely. He's got some buzzers there. That's a tiny... Well, I won't say what it is, and then the listeners can find out when it happens.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Groot or Tree.
great feature. The scene that I will describe is...
Oh, you haven't done the intro music to Grootree.
Shit!
Okay, well, thank you for that. Long time listener, of course, Sarah.
Yeah,
and
I'm a big fan of this one, yeah. I begged you to do this game.
Grootree. So. And...
Oh, is that a tree? Or is that like... What is that? Oh. No, I just thought it was a tree. I couldn't tell if it was a Groot or a tree.
That was it.
There it was.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. So, and I'll describe the scene. And the scene is... And I won't say what the movie is. I'll just talk about what happens. There's a blue car. And it flies. That's Andy's buzz.
That is tree.
That's tree. And bonus point if you could say the film.
Harry Potter.
And?
The second one.
Yes, well done.
Nice. And the second one. And the second
one. Keep up, Sarah.
Sorry.
Okay. Now, this one is... you're going to be at a disadvantage here, Sarah. I'm going to say that from the beginning. Is it
a man's film?
No, will I have not been allowed in? You have already previously said that you have not seen this film.
Okay.
So, this is a...
I mean, if he was just making up, he could have changed that, but because they're pre-written questions, so unfortunately,
yeah.
It'd be unfair to change
it now. You haven't seen it. So, there's two little hobbits, and they are sitting on a talking, walking tree. But is it a tree or is it Groot?
Sorry, I was a bit late there.
I haven't seen... I don't know the film. Just thought I'd take a punt because... Like,
well, I have no idea, so yeah, go ahead.
Just, sort of try and even the score. Tree?
It's tree.
Oh, well done.
It's an Ent from Lord of the Rings.
I had no idea.
Oh my God.
Well, you've got one each. And as we always like to play... The deciding round means I will ask myself.
Yeah, that's how it's played.
Oh, excellent.
So, Tim, you ready? Yeah. This scene is from Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2, when the Kurt Russell's character is running through a forest. Yes, Tim. Oh, is that a tree? Yeah, it was.
So one all. So I guess we're all winners. That's how you play. That's how you screw it. That was a good
play us out, Tim.
Oh, that was excellent play. That was nice. Excellent work. Oh dear.
Okay. Any pranks on set?
I mean, being the only living actor on set, there were a lot of times where we would pretend for the director and the cameraman and the guys doing sound, we would pretend that I had died.
Oh no.
Yeah, horribly. Yeah.
The last liver.
Mm. Oh, how would you do that? Explain how you'd...
So at one point they hung me from the ceiling. It really hurt, actually. Very painful.
Suffer for your art.
But it was funny time. When I woke up, it was really good. Funny. Yeah, well, they said it was funny. They said they laughed.
I mean...
But Sandy, was she not amused?
Sandy loves it, yeah.
Oh, she liked it?
Sandy's like the mastermind behind the pranks. Okay. She was we tried to get her a lot. A big thing to try and get Sandy, but she's a trickster.
Oh, sneaky.
Yeah, she is.
But if everyone else was dead, why were they that terrified? Were they just, oh, good, new friend?
Oh, but we were trying to trick the crew. The crew were living.
Oh, the crew were living. Oh,
did
okay.
you ever trick the crew into thinking that one of the dead people had come back to life?
We tried,
but it's not
but
realistic.
It's very hard to reanimate a corpse. Happen. Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah,
which is my catchphrase in the movie.
Say again.
It's very hard to reanimate a corpse.
Yeah, you said that. I remember in the
first and second.
Tricky to say that one. Yeah,
I thought you were saying it about Gollums.
You know, yeah, but, well, I think that's adult humour in that.
Yeah,
that's
and,
that's,
yeah. Yeah. Come, and then obviously it comes.
Just like, one. Yeah.
Does it come back in the second half?
Yeah, that's when it was funny in the second half. Obviously, right, when it was in the first half, it was
there. Shout it off the top of the Chrysler Building.
Yeah.
Right, because in that sense, I assume that's what you're talking about, your business. You're trying to reanimate your handbags.
Yeah, and my life, just in general. You know, my well-being.
Is there any truth to the rumour that there was an on-set curse?
I've not heard about this.
Oh. We've got the inside track then, I suppose.
Yeah, well, so we heard...
From Sandy.
Have you spoken to Sandy?
We have, yes.
We speak
I thought
to
she
Sandy.
Was back out in the mountains.
She...
Yeah, we went to the mountains.
We went to the mountains.
Yeah,
we do our research.
She
said...
Moria. But yeah.
She said that the craft services table was haunted. And when people used to go up to get their food, they'd feel something like slap their legs. And people were like, haunted.
Were you slapping legs, Sarah?
No, I wasn't slapping legs, but I did have a leg slapped.
Slapped on a leg.
And I just assumed it was Sandy.
I know what's happened.
Go on.
It probably is Sandy. She pranked us.
Oh, no.
By telling...
Yeah. She is a trickster.
She is.
There's your pranks on set. Wow. It's out now.
Good
Wait,
old
are we
Sandy.
On set? Apparently.
Well, we
this
are.
Is a, this is
You're
a set
in the
now.
Crew.
We're in.
Oh, guys.
Display cast crew, me or you. That could confuse things if we're now potentially on the crew.
Oh, because we are.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. And what if even some of that was filmed for behind-the-scenes stuff? Does that mean that we're in the cast now as well?
Let's play the game.
Okay, let's play the jingle.
Can you come over here, please? This name on the call sheet, I don't recognise it. Is this chap in the cast, or is he in the... Well, I know my name's Simon, that's not... Well, I need to know if it's cast crew, or if it's me or you. I mean, you know, I mean, if I don't find out pretty soon, I will start to stress vomit.
I love that jingle.
I love that jingle so much. Okay, now, Sarah, we're going to play a little game which you will, as a big fan of the podcast, you will be aware of. But just for the listener, if this is the first episode they've listened to, this is a game we like to play called Cast Crew, Me or You, where one of us will say a name, and then all you have to do is tell us if that person is in the cast, if they're in the crew, if that person is me, or if that person is you.
Okay.
Do you want to start?
Great.
Andy?
All right. Cast, crew, me or you, Tim Giddings.
You.
No, it was me.
No, it's not. You're both wrong.
Oh,
it was crew.
Crew. Oh, it's crew. Yeah. Oh, I forgot that you guys became crew.
Bad luck, guys. Bad luck.
I'm in the crew. I'm not me.
Yeah. This is a tricky game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult, right?
Sorry, give me another one.
I was more recently crew than I was me.
Yeah.
So it's what's most recent, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah. Right. Do you want to ask one, Tim?
Yeah. Cast crew, me or you, Andy Serkis. Oh, who's buzzed in there?
I think it was me.
Oh, okay. Oh, you were too slow, so it's busted.
Crew.
No, he was cast. He played Gollum. He really should have known that. That's a shame.
But he was on the crew as well because he was doing a lot of the movement work. So,
that's true.
Yeah.
But he was more recently cast because he did the ADR after he'd finished filming. Do you want to pose one for us?
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Okay, great. Turn the tables.
Thanks for cast, crew.
Oh, yeah.
Me or you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
Calm down.
Buzzed in too early.
Robert Kennedy.
That was me. Robert Kennedy was you.
He was cast.
Oh, shit.
He was in the film.
Oh,
did you not see him?
Oh, no.
He was great in the film.
Yeah, I saw him. He was in the first half.
I thought you were Robert Kennedy.
You didn't see because he was only in the first half, wasn't he? And then
I'm disappointed now because I'm a massive Robert Kennedy fan.
Yeah, he's very, very good actor.
I thought he was on my podcast.
Talent wasted.
No, he's not.
You okay?
No, he's got no questions.
Andy, you cry. Left. Oh, I don't. You don't have to cry, mate. It's okay. Well,
can we get Robert Kennedy on next time?
I mean, do you have a connection with him? Do you think we could?
Do you have a connection Sarah, do you with him, Sarah?
Put in a good word.
He is dead.
And that's why he was in the film. Mm. He is cast. And that's how you play cast, crew, me, or you.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's not a bad game welcome. At all. Any more questions?
Could you just specify which, because again, I only saw the first half, I didn't see the credits. Which Johnny Cash songs did you end up using in the...
He wrote some original scores for the song.
Oh, so there is a theme song for the movie.
There is, yeah. There brilliant. Is, yeah.
And it's called Wife of Gollum? Or?
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
Ah, brilliant. Okay.
Did you hear at the start? The intro music.
Oh, that was... Oh, I guess that was just an instrumental and there was no lyrics, so I didn't realise that was it.
She's a wife.
Can we hold some kind of seance to bring him back to do a rendition of the theme tune?
I think he's busy at the moment.
Is he?
Yeah, he says that he was doing another tour.
Or is he doing...
Haunting More Prisons? Yeah, or
doing Kermode and Mayo's podcast?
Yeah. Kermode.
No, we discussed this last episode. Too. Oh. It's Kermode.
It's Kermode.
Yeah.
But it's twins.
We've decided. Kermode. That's right.
That's it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So Johnny Cash is busy haunting a prison.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Mm. Well, that's
now, as we have discussed, I'm a perfect mimic.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen haven't heard the song because it is just in the end credits. Mm. So we can either just play a clip from the end of the movie, which I assume you brought some clips in for us, Sarah, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, or you can just sing it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Andy, since you've heard the music, you can just play a bit of musical accompaniment.
Yeah, I can do that.
And I'll do what I can based on what I heard from the instrumental version.
Yeah,
sound good?
Sure.
Okay, right. That'd be great. Cool. Oh yeah, well let's hear a bit of the song. So the song itself is called Wife of Gollum,
and it was a duet. So Tim's going to play Johnny Cash's part.
I guess I'll do the Johnny Cash bit, and you can do the.
I will do the.
Oh, did she ever find a name?
Well, you have to see the end for that.
But who is the singer that you got for the soundtrack?
Oh, the singer who is the singer, gonna Johnny Cash. It's
Miley Cyrus. Was it Miley Cyrus?
It was Miley Cyrus. Miley, yeah, great. Sorry.
She's got a bit of country background.
Country,
as well.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Miley started, if I remember.
Well, she met him down by a streaky stream.
Well, I met her down by a streaky stream.
And she thought he looked like a dream.
Her hair was a horsehair dream.
She's the wife.
She's the wife.
She's the wife.
She's the wife.
She's
the wife
of Gollum.
She's the wife.
She's the wife.
She's the wife.
She's the wife of Gollum.
Lovely.
It's number one at the moment.
Two more?
And then it
and then there's like a there was the mistake.
Breakdown. Yeah, there's a drop
where he drifted away as he was playing it.
Yeah, it's the drop.
The drop. And there's the drop. Yeah. And what's the and just do the play the drop, Andy?
Mm.
What's the drop?
It's the bit where they talk about New York and then how that all happens. Oh, okay. Just you know.
Oh no, I remember. It was very. It's kind of just changed the whole theme of the song.
Yeah.
And I think it was something like.
There was a couple of
New York, New York.
Would you please buy my handbag?
Yes, I will buy your handbag.
Everybody now, it's very difficult to reanimate a corpse.
It's very difficult to reanimate a corpse.
You really can sing,
she's
it's great.
She's the wife. Come on. of Gollum.
She's the
wife. She's the wife.
She's the wife of Gollum.
And then he makes a mistake again. Oh my god, is that the baby Gollum hand? Oh no! And that was, I think that was how it ended.
That was the end. My Cyrus was having a bad day.
I mean, it's when she was deep into the drugs.
Yeah, oh, okay. She was.
Deep.
Mm. Great, well that's, at least now I know how the film ended in terms of credits.
Yeah, now we all know.
Great, thanks so much for that, Sarah.
No problem, thanks for
Sarah.
Having me.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for
Go and see the film, Wife of Gollum, in cinemas now.
Oh,
if
yes,
only
yes,
for the theme
please.
Song.
And which half would you recommend they see?
I would say see the second. I mean, second? It depends.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a shame.
Okay. I mean, I'd see the second half if you're feeling quite lighthearted and you like the scenes of New York. Then, but
right,
if you're looking for something a little darker, then go for the first half.
Out of 5 stars.
Oh, I'd give it a solid 5.
Yeah. That is good. That is good.
What about just the first half?
The first half.
Out of 5 stars.
It's not. It's not worth rating.
Oh. Unrated.
Unrated. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the second half really pulls it back.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all. That's like 10 stars, which averages
out. We haven't even talked about the musical number that she does in the streets.
Was it better than that one that you guys just did?
It was about the same.
Okay. That's
you mean
good
the one
then.
That we just played on the computer?
Yeah, the one that we brought in was Johnny Cash and Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. Yeah. You. Well, I said you guys because you both
pressed
play at the same time. Yeah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks,
Sarah.
Thanks very much, guys.
Listeners, stick around for listener questions.
Yeah, we'll be doing that afterwards.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, that was a fun quest this week. Now we're gonna do.
Thanks for sticking around.
We're gonna do our listener questions. A lot of people have been writing in this week.
Can we get the post bag out?
Give me the post bag. Thank you. That was a high five, Tim.
I just put the post bag.
Okay, good. All right. First question this week.
Woo! So that's one of those. Andy's opening one of those birthday cards that speaks when you open it.
Right.
What does it say on the front? What's the occasion, Andy?
It says Happy Marvel News Day.
Happy Marvel News Day. It is, because this is the day the episode comes out. So thanks very much. Who sent us that?
Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny. Do you want to open it again? Woo! Oh, I love that. That's really good. Thanks,
put that on
the mantelpiece. It just says Happy Marvel. Is it not? Has he addressed it to us?
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. What's he put?
Hi, Tim and Andy.
Pretty fast. Very good. Thanks, Johnny.
The question is...
Oh, he's got a question in the card as well. Okay. Yeah, what's his... I'll just open it again. Okay, what's the question?
Johnny, 12, from Scunthorpe, says, what's your favourite colour of movie?
Well, there's colour purple. Mm. There's the twacle le blanc. Mm. There's yellow, Nick Cassavetes. There is...
Blue is the warmest colour.
Blue is the warmest colour.
Batman.
There is Blue Valentine,
Green Butchers,
Blue Jasmine, Pink
Floyd,
The Wall,
Wolverine,
Flubber,
The Shining. Which is your favourite
of them?
Mm.
Red Dawn, which is sort of orange.
So the colour of Dawn is the answer to that.
Here's another question. This piece of paper, this is typed up on a fancy typewriter, this one. It's from, her name's Diamond. I assume that's a girl's name.
Because it, what?
37.
That's not our demographic.
From?
Oh, hang on. It
Warsaw.
Is. Our male demographic is 11 to 13. Our female demographic is all of them.
She's from Warsaw. And she...
Warsaw. Just outside of Birmingham or Poland?
Poland.
Okay, good.
She asks... What's the longest film?
Oh, the film Life, featuring Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence. Not the recent sci-fi
one.
That was only an hour and a
half.
Get
it together.
Grow
what about,
up.
What about...
One of those stupid fucking French films that last for 12 hours.
12 hours? Mm. Oh, that's the longest then. That's well long. It's really long.
The whole box set of Mad Men if I don't take any breaks during it. And if they put it like a film.
And if it was in a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
If it was a movie, yeah.
Do you have a listener question, intern Ellen?
What's your favourite kind of pie?
Life of pie.
American pie.
Great. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.